तत्र यथेदानीं गदाधरा त्वत्पदायरंकिता भाति स्वलक्षणाभिलक्षिताय। ओ गदाधर कृष्णा, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet, and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are certain particular marks on the feet of the Lord which distinguish the Lord from others. The marks of a flag, thunderbolt, an instrument to drive an elephant, umbrella, lotus, disc, etc., are on the bottom of the Lord's feet. These marks are impressed upon the soft dust of the land where the Lord traverses. The land of Hastinapur was thus marked while Lord Sri Krishna was there with the Pandavas. And the kingdom of the Pandavas thus flourished by such auspicious signs. Kunti Devi pointed out these distinguished features and was afraid of ill luck in the absence of the Lord. Our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet, and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. Hastinapur is the most beautiful city perhaps in the world. Perhaps with the exception of Dwarka, as far as opulences and wealth. Queen Kunti is here and praying to Lord Sri Krishna that the only true opulence of this great city is the impressions left by your lotus feet in the dust of the earth. The lotus feet of the Lord represent the divine presence of the Lord. The humility of a Vaishnava is naturally to approach the Lord in a humble position. Therefore, one is always anxious to meditate upon the lotus feet of the Lord. We have read the story in Mahabharata of how Duryodhana and Arjuna were both on their way to meet with Krishna. In fact, Arjuna was going to meet with Krishna. And when Duryodhana heard about this, he was very much afraid because the battle of Kurukshetra was soon to be fought. And not only was Krishna all-powerful, but he had great armies. The Pandavas and the Kurus were both doing whatever they could to get allies to fight for them. So Duryodhana was very clever. He was brilliant materially. He had intelligence that nobody else could compare to. So he was thinking, the first one to reach Krishna will be the one that Krishna will be obliged to fulfill his wish, because that is basic etiquette. So he very quickly took a short route to Dwarka and reached there before Arjuna. And he was in Krishna's room. At the time, Krishna was sleeping, resting. Duryodhana sat right next to Krishna's face, so that when he would wake up, he would be right there to see him. And Arjuna very humbly sat on the floor below the feet of Lord Sri Krishna. Duryodhana was sitting on an equal level where his face was. Arjuna was on the floor below his feet. So this is the difference between a humble devotee and a proud person. A humble devotee always wants to seek the most menial, insignificant position in the presence of the Lord. And those who are plagued with false pride, they want to take a very exalted position. They want to see Krishna face to face. The devotee is not so interested in seeing Krishna face to face. He is interested in pleasing Krishna by humbly serving his lotus feet. And what are the glories and qualities of those lotus feet? When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya Dham to perform the Shraddha for his father, Jagannath Mishra, he went into that famous shrine of Gadadhar, where the lotus feet of Lord Krishna are worshipped. That is the murti of that temple. It's the feet of the Lord. And there were so many Brahmins chanting beautiful, beautiful mantras glorifying his lotus feet. The lotus feet of the Lord in that temple were just decorated with so many nice, beautiful garlands, sandalwood, all sorts of fragrant scents. And they were chanting the glories of the lotus feet of the Lord. That these lotus feet, they are meditated upon by Lord Brahma, the supreme creator of the universe. And Lord Shiva, he carries the Ganges on his head only because that water has touched your lotus feet. And he keeps that water on top of his head always. And it was those same lotus feet that are massaged eternally by the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. Imagine, she is the goddess of all wealth, both in the material worlds and the spiritual worlds. But the only wealth that she prizes is the lotus feet of the Lord and the opportunity to serve those lotus feet with humble devotion. In fact, when we were in Tirupati, we were describing how Lakshmi Devi, she's willing to leave all of the wealth of Vaikuntha to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. And Bali Maharaj, he conquered the entire universe. He was living in the castle of Indra in Swargaloka. But yet, he gave it all up and ultimately received as his only treasure, his supreme treasure in life, the lotus feet of the Lord upon his head. The Lord's lotus feet are the supreme treasure for all devotees' hearts. The glories of his lotus feet are sung by all the great saints and sages, by all the great scriptures. Akrura, that great Mahabhagavat, when he entered into Vrindavan and he just saw the imprints of the feet of Krishna, he fell from his chariot and began to roll in those footprints in divine ecstatic love. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his beautiful prayers, he reveals his most heartfelt ambition in life. Ai nanda tunuja kinkaram patita mam vishame babam budo. Kripaya tabapada panka jastita duli sadrisam vichintaya. That I only aspire, my Lord, to be one insignificant speck of dust decorating your beautiful lotus feet. We are now in Panchavati, Nasik. This place is very famous, especially because it was the ashram of Gautama Muni. It is explained that Gautama Muni had a very beautiful wife. Her name was Ahalya. She was so captivating in all of her celestial qualities that Indra himself disguised himself and somehow or other seduced her. Time alone with him. At that time, Gautama Rishi came and saw what was happening. He became very angry and he cursed Indra to have his body covered eventually with eyes. And of course we know that the curse of a great sage is always a blessing. But we do not understand that until sometimes much later in time. Why? Because the great devotees of the Lord are intimately connected with the Lord himself. The Lord bestows his mercy in the world through his devotees. And the Lord's mercy cannot always be easily understood by our mind and senses. Sometimes it appears very bad. But in the end, Krishna reveals his true intentions. So very embarrassing for Indra to be covered with eyes. First he was covered with other, something else. That was too much embarrassing. So he begged, "Something else, please." So he gave him eyes all over his body. It would seem like disturbance. And certainly it was. But the blessing was revealed during the time of Lord Chaitanya. After Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered Jagai and Madhai along with Lord Nityananda Prabhu, so many of the principal demigods came to worship the Supreme Lord because these demigods had seen all the various incarnations. They're the ones that pray for the various incarnations. It was through their prayers that Kurma Avatar appeared. they witness the beautiful vision of the enormous Matsya avatar. It was to deliver them that Varahadeva appeared and Narasimhadeva appeared. It was on the basis of the prayers of the demigods that Lord Ramchandra appeared. And on the ocean of milk, due to the atrocities of Kamsa, they prayed, and Bhagavan Sri Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, appeared. And they each of these various avatars showed immense mercy to the world. But they had never heard or seen in the history of this creation the extent of the mercy in which Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed upon Jagai and Madhai. Because he didn't just kill them, liberate them, but he gave them prema bhakti. He gave them entrance into the sweet world of divine service through the chanting of the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So the demigods, they personally came to worship the Lord and honor him. And when Indra saw the beauty of the golden complexion of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he was thanking Gautam Rishi for giving him so many thousands of eyes. Because he could see the Lord better than anyone else. Rupa Goswami, he prays, when the name of Krishna is on my tongue, I desire many, many tongues. When that name enters into my ears, I desire millions of ears. When it enters my heart, it conquers my heart and my mind and my senses in love. So similarly, to see the Lord, the gopis, they also prayed that Brahma, you are not a good creator. Because why did you make these eyelids? Because of these eyelids, we have to blink. And when we blink, we cannot see Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya, as we know, in the mood of the gopis, he prayed that a moment in separation from Krishna is like 12 years or more. And a moment, the blink of an eye, is actually more time than a moment. The moment is considered 1/12th of a second. Lava matra. So, when the gopis would blink, they would think, during that time when they would blink, they couldn't see Krishna. And it seemed like eternity till their eyes would open again. So obviously, a devotee, when he's seeing Krishna, Krishna's beauty is so much, you desire thousands and millions of eyes just to behold the beauty of Krishna, the sweetness of Krishna. So Indra had thousands of eyes. And when he was glancing upon Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however many of his eyes were blinking, there were always some that were seeing. So there was no obstruction in the darshan of the Lord. And he was thinking, what I thought was a curse is the blessing of my life. How I'm drinking in the nectar of Mahaprabhu's beauty through my thousands of eyes. But Gautam Rishi also cursed his wife to become a piece of stone. And she was very unhappy. She did not want to be a piece of stone. She had such a beautiful female form. And all beautiful female forms like to look beautiful and young. They don't want to be a piece of stone lying on the ground. But Gautam Rishi explained that I'm doing this as a blessing to you because you have impurities in your heart. And only the lotus feet of the Lord can purify you from all of these unwanted things in your heart. So in the Treta Yuga, when Sri Ramchandra appears, he will place his lotus feet upon you, and then you will become a completely purified Paramhams devotee. Then you will revel in ecstatic bliss in his loving service. So, we may be impatient. Why I'm not experiencing the ecstasy of love of God immediately. But it is such a rare and precious thing that Gautam Rishi, he understood, even if my wife lives as a piece of stone for tens and thousands of years, it is actually a great fortune if after those tens and thousands, perhaps hundreds and thousands of years, she is blessed by the lotus feet of Lord Ram. So there is a story that sometimes Dwapar Yuga appears before Treta Yuga. There are different interpretations of this matter. But she was thinking, he's going to come in the third Yuga, Treta? That means I have to wait such a long time? Please make some adjustment. So he said, all right, then Treta will come before Dwapar Yuga. So when Lord Sri Ramchandra, this is the power of Gautam Rishi, when he was with Vishwamitra Muni, along with Lakshman, they had just killed the demons, Subahu and his company, and he punished Maricha. And then they were on their way to Mithila to see that beautiful kingdom. And while going through the forest, there was this stone lying right on the footpath. And it was explained by Vishwamitra Muni, what is this stone? She's waiting for you. She's been waiting here for tens and thousands of years for you. So Lord Sri Ramchandra placed those most supremely blessed and auspicious lotus feet upon that stone, and immediately she became Ahalya, the beautiful consort of Gautam Rishi. And just at that time, Gautam Rishi appeared with folded hands, and he and his wife both surrendered to Lord Sri Ramchandra with great devotion, and he bestowed his prema, his pure love upon them. And Ahalya was very grateful to her husband. She prayed in this way, that my husband is so kind and merciful that he has made this arrangement that I could touch your lotus feet and perfect my life. As we heard yesterday, Gautam Rishi also, while he was living here, Panchavati, at the Brahmagiri, he was tricked by the devatas to commit a sin, although he was actually very sinless. It is the nature of this world. Even if you try your best, you get implicated in sinful activities. They sent a cow to that special place where his special grasses were growing. So he just took a piece of grass and just touched the cow, saying, go away, go away. But just by touching it, the cow started bleeding and died. So now he has committed a great sin of killing a cow. What to do? So he was told that there's only one way to purify yourself of this sin. That is to bathe in the river Ganges and to purify this place with the water of the Ganges. And why? Why is it that the Ganges is so pure that it can purify even the sin of killing a cow? Because it has touched the lotus feet of the Lord. Because it has washed the feet of the Lord, that water can purify the whole universe and give bhakti, prema bhakti, to the whole universe. So he performed great, great tapasya on that Brahmagiri. And eventually, by his great tapasya, the Ganges came through the matted locks of Lord Shiva, who always keeps the Ganges water very nicely upon his head, descended into this world. And at this place it is called the Godavari, the holy river Godavari. Why is it so holy? Because it has touched the feet of the Lord. And because it has been bathed upon, bathed within, and worshipped by Gautama Rishi, who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Here's a beautiful story. Chaitanya Mangala, of how one day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was near the banks of the Ganges and Navadvip, and so many hundreds and hundreds of Brahmins and others were bathing in the Ganges and doing their worship in the Ganges. And then the river Ganges, upon seeing the lotus feet of the Lord, became so anxious to be touched by those lotus feet, that even though it was a nice, pleasant day, all of a sudden, just like as if in a storm, her banks became swollen and she started over flooding. And the river Ganges' whole current began to flow, over flooding, to where Lord Chaitanya was standing some distance away. And very gracefully and graciously, it approached his lotus feet and touched his lotus feet and felt the perfection of her life to once again be reunited with the lotus feet of her beloved Lord. And everyone around, the other Brahmins, were very much confused, bewildered, and surprised. Why is it all of a sudden the river Ganges has swollen over like this just to touch the lotus feet of Vishwambhar Nimai Pandit? And one Brahmin, blessed by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, began to explain how the lotus feet of the Lord is the eternal shelter of river Ganges. And river Ganges is the shelter of all sinful souls of this world. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, such rivers like Godavari and Ganga, because they have touched the lotus feet of the Lord, they are so pure and sanctified that even the breeze that comes off the river and touches us can cleanse us of all sins. And if we just receive that breeze with the proper consciousness, that breeze can give us prema bhakti, the supreme goal of life. Right now we are bathing in the breeze of the holy river Godavari. And how is it that it is so pure? Because it has touched the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God. So Queen Kunti is revealing to us that the only real treasure of the Pandavas are those lotus feet of the Lord. She's willing to give up her whole kingdom, everything, just to have that priceless gift of the darshan of the lotus feet. This is real wealth. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu has prayed, na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaya mama janamani janamani shwari bhavatad bhakti rahaita kitvai. I do not want wealth, any amount of wealth. I do not want beautiful ladies around me, nor do I want fame or followers, or even liberation itself. I only desire your causeless devotional service, birth after birth after birth. Service to the Lord is the lotus feet of the Lord. We attain his lotus feet by serving him. In fact, devotional service is non-different than the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, a devotee understands that the greatest treasure, the greatest attainment in all of existence is the opportunity to engage in the process of devotional service. Because in that, we are in contact directly with the lotus feet of the Lord. And those who have sought, those who seek shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, they are the true benefactors of the Lord's mercy in this world. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale. This mantra that we chant every day, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nutina. Why is Srila Prabhupada and all of the great acharyas, all of the great Vaishnavas so worshipable to us? Because Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya. Because they have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale. So what is the power? What is the power of those lotus feet that Queen Kunti and all of the great sages are worshipping? That should be our meditation in life. The gopis of Vrindavan, when Krishna was in the pasturing grounds, throughout the entire day they were meditating on his lotus feet. In a spirit of such conjugal affection, that those lotus feet are so soft that even when we place them on the softest part of our bodies, we feel that we must be hurting them because they are so soft. What to speak of when he's traversing the ground of Vrindavan where there are pebbles and stones. Even a blade of grass is very hard compared to the feet of Krishna. Shyam Sundar. So this is their meditation. So we must learn how to aspire for the humble position of all of these great souls. We must aspire in the mood of the menial servant, of those great souls who aspire only to be a speck of dust in the lotus feet of the Lord. This is the mood of the Vaishnavas. In this Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, humility is the prominent feature. Within other sampradayas, we read of great devotees, no doubt, who prayed that Krishna be their husband, that Krishna be their Lord, always desiring to see the beautiful face of Giridhari. And their songs are famous throughout all of India especially. And no doubt, it is in a mood of great devotion. But the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they do not care for this mood. Because the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, their aspiration is not to see the face of the Lord. Their aspiration is to be the servant of those special souls who are aspiring to be a speck of dust at the feet of the Lord. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya. Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitamam Vishameva. So the glories of the lotus feet of the Lord, being the servant of the servant of the servant, was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process of attaining shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Trinadapi Sunichena,
Rodapi Sahishmana, Mamanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari.
This beautiful sloka, if we always remember it and aspire to live by it, we will never be separated from the lotus feet of the Lord. So we are very fortunate to have one another's association, because in the company of Vaishnavas, the lotus feet of the Lord is readily available. By serving the Vaishnavas, we make that connection. And to be in this very, very holy place, sitting on the banks of the holy river Godavari, discussing the topics of Lord Sri Krishna, is most auspicious. The most elevated and profound instructions within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela took place on the banks of the holy river Godavari. It was at Vidyanagar, on the request of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma was a great Mayavadi scholar, the greatest. But by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became a bhakta. And after he attained pure devotional service by the causeless mercy of the Lord, when Mahaprabhu was going for his South Indian tour, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told him that there's a very great devotee. I could not appreciate him when I was a Mayavadi. I thought he was just some sort of sentimentalist. But now that you have bestowed your mercy upon me, I can identify that he's the greatest of all devotees. There's no one who can describe the glories of Radha and Krishna like him. His name is Ramananda Rai, although he appears like a materialistic person. He was the Kayasta community, which was considered Shudra, and he was a politician and a governor. So Mahaprabhu, when he came to that place, he took his bath in the holy river Godavari. And there, in the ecstasy of love. He bathed. He offered his prayers. He worshipped Mother Godavari in the form of a devotee. And simultaneously, Mother Godavari, all of her desires were supremely fulfilled because she had the opportunity of worshipping and serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead by giving him nice bath. And then he came out of the river and he sat and waited. Because the Lord knows past, present, and future. And after a short time, a beautiful procession came. And Ramananda Rai was surrounded by so many Brahmins reciting Vedic hymns, mantras. And he was on a palanquin and carried by servants. There were musical instruments also playing. And he went and he took his bath in the holy river Godavari. Because Ramananda Rai, being such a Paramhamsa Vaishnava, naturally he had great love and affection for such a holy river as Godavari. So every day he would take his bath. And when he saw Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu sitting there, waiting after his bath, he approached the Lord and he began to embrace. And as they embraced, they both fell unconscious in ecstatic love, weeping, crying, trembling. They couldn't even speak. Their voices were choked. When I speak unconscious, I mean unconscious to anything of this world. But they were fully conscious, supremely conscious of each other and the love of Krishna that was awakened by each other's company. The Brahmins could not understand it. So they somehow or other restrained themselves and decided to meet again in the evening. So it was just near the banks, the holy banks of this river Godavari, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through the mouth of Ramananda Rai, revealed the highest, sweetest truths. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is the supreme scripture because it begins where Srimad Bhagavatam ends. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the most elevated and sweetest section is the conversation between Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya that was spoken on the banks of the river Godavari. It was here that Ramananda Rai systematically explained from the basic principles of bhakti to the highest loving exchanges of Radha and Krishna in great detail. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of his desires were supremely fulfilled by speaking these words through Ramananda Rai. Lord Chaitanya was just in unparalleled ecstasy, thanking Ramananda Rai for giving him such beautiful, beautiful narration of Radha and Krishna's loving pastimes in Vrindavan. And Ramananda Rai replied that I am like a stringed instrument. My tongue is like the string, but you are the musician. And as you are making me speak, I am speaking. And Lord Chaitanya, he said, I am only a Mayavadi sannyasi. What do I know about these things? It is only by your mercy that I am learning what is bhakti. What is Vrindavan? What is Radha and Krishna? So these loving exchange were witnessed by this holy river. And we should understand the good fortune that we have today. Queen Kunti was praying that all I want in my life is your lotus feet. And Krishna is revealing the mercy of his lotus feet in so many ways, in so many forms in this world. Through holy rivers like Ganga, Godavari, Jamuna. Through the association of his devotees. Through the proper worship of his Vigraha, Sri Sri Radha Gopinathji. Through the beautiful pastimes of the scriptures, Ram Leela, Krishna Leela, and through his holy name. We are always aspiring to be the menial, humble servant of the lotus feet of those devotees who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord by practicing these processes, by treasuring in the mood of Queen Kunti as our only real wealth, our only real treasure in life, the service of the Lord.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explained that there are three substances very powerful. The dust from the feet of the Vaishnavas, the water that has washed the feet of the Vaishnavas, obtain such purifying substances. And why are they so powerful? Because such Vaishnavas have taken shelter of the feet of Krishna. And how do we find these substances? Not by just grabbing and taking, but by humbly serving. By humbly serving the great souls, we obtain the dust of their feet. We bathe, by serving them nicely, we bathe in the water from their lotus feet. By accepting their instructions, we receive the remnants of such great souls. And if you are actually in this mood, then the actual dust, the actual water, and the actual remnants can connect you intimately to the lotus feet that Sri Kunti Devi is here praising and begging, pleading that she never loses.